Hey guys, and welcome to another edition of The World of Aja Pearl. It's my world, and I'm so happy to be here. Okay, so tonight I'm going to read a short story from my unpublished book entitled Are the Kids All Right? And before I start, I want you all to know that this is based on real life events, and the names have been changed to protect the innocent. Okay, so here we go. This is entitled Bennett. Now, according to rems.ed.gov, it states, childhood traumatic grief is a condition that some children develop after the death of a close friend or family member. Children with childhood traumatic grief experience the cause that of that death is horrifying or terrifying, whether the death was sudden or unexpected or due to natural causes. When a child is struggling with childhood traumatic grief, the child's trauma reactions there interfere with his or her ability to go through a normal bereavement process. Because of the interaction of traumatic and grief reactions, any thoughts, even happy ones, of the deceased person can lead to frightening memories of how the person died. Because these thoughts can be so upsetting, the child often may try to avoid all reminders of the loss, so as not to stir up upsetting thoughts or feelings. Now, we read about Bennett's experience. It's been over 30 years since it happened. There are still some people who are still affected by it. Ironically, I had no idea that I would be one of those people. I had no idea these feelings exist until they came to fruition in my adulthood. She was a stranger to me. We did not live in the same neighborhood. We did not go to the same school. Our families were not acquainted with each other. I still cannot fathom any reason a person would end a 10-year-old child's life. Her death had such a huge impact on me because we were the same age. We attended Catholic school, different Catholic schools, and we lived in the inner city, different parts of the inner city. We also had dreams, and we wanted to fulfill them when we grew older. Yet a psychopath wanted to play God with her life and take it away from her when she didn't give him what he wanted from her. Not only he took her innocent life, but her death also caused a ripple effect. We also had dreams and we wanted to fulfill them when we grew older. Yet a psychopath wanted to play God with her life and take it away from her when she didn't give him what he wanted from her. Not only he took her innocent life, but her death also caused a ripple effect on her family, her friends, her neighborhood, the state of New York, and the entire country. I soon discovered this was not his first rodeo of taking lives of innocent children. He took two other lives before the 10-year-old girl's life, and possibly three other children. I know for a fact that people who knew these children personally. Let me read that again. I know for a fact that people who knew these children personally and the killer personally are still affected by it. The children are greatly missed and the killer is forever shunned and locked away in prison. However, I wonder if I'm the only one who time after time still mourns the loss of these children, especially the 10-year-old little girl named Yesenia Gonzalez. over 30 years ago, a 10-year-old little girl by the name of Yesenia Gonzalez went missing in New York City. The story was so big that it went nationwide. The first time I heard of Yesenia Gonzalez was on the evening news. The evening news showed a picture of Yesenia Gonzalez wearing her Holy Communion attire. When I saw her face, I felt scared over the news about this little girl. My first thought was that I received my first Holy Communion too. I immediately thought that there was someone out there preying on little Catholic girls. At school, teachers and the principal made Yesenia's disappearance known to the entire student body, which increased my fear. I went to school in fear. I went to school in fear, and I went home in fear. Despite my fears, I prayed for Yesenia's return. All I wanted was for Yesenia to come home to her family, safe and sound. However, weeks later, there were talks that Yesenia perhaps was. However, weeks later, there was talk that Yesenia was perhaps dead. Then the television news and the newspapers reported that Yesenia was dead. I was still in disbelief. I thought that the media made a mistake, and in actuality, she was held hostage somewhere, and the public couldn't find her. Eventually, I finally realized that Yesenia was, in fact, dead. It was a hard truth to face. The harder truth I had to face was that the fact that Yesenia and I were 10 years old at the time of her death. Plus, I still could not understand the reason for anyone to harm, more so take a life of a child. As a child myself, I never expressed to anyone my feelings about Yesenia's death. I felt afraid to tell my friends, my classmates, and my family about my somber feelings for the little girl I mourned yet never knew. I felt afraid of being branded as weird for mourning over a stranger and ridiculed for allowing myself to be affected by a stranger's death. I know it sounds ridiculous, but unfortunately, I grew up in that type of environment. Plus, this was my generation. I grew up in an environment and a generation where it made no sense to mourn the death of a stranger. Furthermore, I was not supposed to allow myself or permit myself to feel somber over anything. That was a form of weakness. I not only felt sad because she died, I felt also angry because someone killed her. Most of all, I felt scared because no one knew the killer's identity and the killer's next victim. Looking back on the situation, I wish there was someone who I could have trusted and with who I felt comfortable expressing my feelings. A child should never have to deal with these feelings that are foreign to them on their own. It was very difficult. Now, according to www.cancer.net, it states, children and teenagers express their grief in a variety of ways. Some may be sad and verbalize the loss like many adults. Depending on their ages, however, they may show sadness only sometimes and start in short periods. Children may complain of physical discomfort, such as stomach aches or headaches. They may also express anxiety or distress about other challenges in their lives. It is helpful to know how children understand death at different stages of development. It varies by age and often changes as a child develops emotionally and socially. Other factors also include personality, previous experiences with death, and support from family members. Keep in mind that children do not move abruptly from stage one, from the first stage of development to the next. Why her? I thought sadly. Yesenia was a kid just like me. Now she's gone and she will never get a chance to celebrate her 11th birthday. Her 11th birthday. Her 11th birthday was weeks away when Yesenia died. The death of Yesenia Gonzalez was a wake-up call to the city. The city was in a total panic. In fact, the city was so vocal over her death that it touched the President of the United States, who sent an American flag which draped over her casket. Someone was killing innocent children. This person or these people had to be stopped. God, please catch this person, I prayed many nights. They killed Yesenia. You have to catch them, God, or they'll keep killing innocent lives. Please, God, stop this. No one knew the person or person's whereabouts, the person or person's identity, and worst of all, the identity of the next victim. I was in emotional purgatory. I prayed every night for God to protect my classmates, my friends, and me. I also prayed for the police to catch the monster or monsters. Fortunately, it did not take long for the police to catch this killer. I think that was the one time I was excited to watch the evening news. I was glued to the television when the reporters announced the killer's arrest. They said his name was Armando Hernandez. I remember vividly seeing Hernandez in handcuffs and led into the police car. I felt a sigh of relief, but I was also angry. This man killed children. I thought he was evil in the purest form. I also felt a weight lift off my 10-year-old shoulders. In my 10-year-old mind, I thought that once he was arrested, the nightmare was over. The media dubbed Armando Hernandez as the Bronx Boogeyman. Why? He charmed the children, mainly girls and young women, with his friendly neighborhood cab driver persona, and somehow little girls and the young women ended up dead by his hand. Over 30 years ago, the police convicted him of killing three young women, Samantha Barrios, who was 14 years old, Leah Romero, who was 21 years old, and Yesenia Gonzalez, who was 10 years old. I only remembered Yesenia getting killed. The news also said that the neighborhood Armando Gonzalez and his family reside in was split. Some people in the neighborhood were in disbelief that he was the killer. They could not fathom a husband, father, and businessman who appeared to be so friendly doing something so audacious. Hearing this kind of news was very scary because Hernandez was able to blend into the neighborhood, but most of all, he was mobile. He was able to travel throughout the entire city preying on innocent children. The other people in the neighborhood observed his behavior, which they considered to be very odd. Granted that he owned a business, he was not the honest businessman. He stole money from a string of girlfriends. This leads to the fact that he cheated on his wife multiple times with many women, and amongst these women was Leah Romero. Hernandez's behavior was very weird, especially on the night of Yesenia's disappearance and during the investigation. I also remember the television news briefly speaking about Leah Romero's death. The news reported that Leah Romero's body was dressed in Hernandez's wife's clothing. This was way too much for my 10-year-old mind. I thought the situation was insane, and I thought that he was insane. However, the public would have never known about her case and Samantha Barrios' case if Yesenia Gonzalez's case was not brought into light. I was excited over his arrest. I switched to other channels to see if they were reporting the same story. Three channels reported the same story that evening. I was very happy about the good news. However, once again, I could not express my feelings to my family, friends and my classmates because they would not care about the situation as much as I did. The only thing that mattered was the killer was caught and Yesenia and her family will get justice. In the end, he received a total of 75 years to life consecutively in prison for killing Samantha, Leah, and Yesenia. I thought it was the end. I thought once he was in prison, he will meet his demise. Until 2018. Now the question is asked, are you all right? This is Bennett's reply. I'm all right now. However, in 2018, a ghost haunted me from my childhood. I was home surfing the internet while I periodically watched television. I surfed the internet and heard the name Yesenia Gonzalez on my television. That caught my attention. When I saw Armando Hernandez, aka the Bronx Boogeyman, on television, I could not believe he was still alive. I figured another inmate killed him for being a child killer. I happened to catch a glimpse of his television appearance. Not only he grew older, naturally, but he put on a tremendous amount of weight. The fact that he was giving his first interview was a must-see for me. I said to myself, oh my goodness, he's finally gonna talk. I did not know what to expect from Armando Hernandez's interview. Was I expecting the truth from him? Sure. It's human nature to want to still see a shred of good in a human being, especially one who kills children. However, in the back of my mind, I have my doubts. The Bronx Boogeyman did his first and maybe only interview ever. As I watched the interview with the Bronx Boogeyman, I observed the fact that he was still holding on to the belief that he was innocent of taking the lives of three girls. Despite his endless declaration of innocence, I thought he had zero credibility. The things he said made no sense. I saw pictures of him during the court appearances from approximately 30 years ago, and I can see the evil in his eyes. The police gave him far too much credit to call him a masterful liar. Chronic, yes. Habitual, yes. But never masterful, because to me, he was so transparent. One thing he was masterful in being was a masterful deflector. I saw through his empty words, especially when he cried crocodile tears at the right time. It was so staged. Most of all, he never admit to being a monster. He only admit to being a cheater to his ex-wife. Speaking of the infidelity, another woman allegedly married him while he was in jail. That blew my mind. Even though I felt nothing but disgust towards the Bronx Boogeyman, I figured he's still alive, but he's behind bars for the rest of his life. He will never harm women and children again. Then another thought came to my mind. This waste of human sperm survived approximately 30 years in prison, which tells me that Satan takes care of his own, and Hernandez was in his element. It was a very scary thought. It gave me chills. The next time I saw him on television was March 2020 on Netflix. It was the same interview from 2018. Perhaps the universe told me to face this pain. Ironically, I thought it never existed. Watching the interview was not enough for me. I had to do some more research. The information I found became more clear about this case. I surfed the internet for more information. I read articles upon articles. The information I found revealed a person who was very disturbed. Overall, Armando Hernandez was a real-life boogeyman, a child's real-life terror, especially for girls. Samantha Berrios was the girlfriend of Armando Hernandez's nephew. She was 14 years old when she was raped and killed. The police were able to find strands of Armando Hernandez's hair on her body, apparently 4 years later from being a cold case. Leah Romero was 21 years old when she was found strangled to death wearing another woman's clothes. They belonged to the wife of Armando Hernandez. Leah Romero's case was a 2-year-old cold case. Besides killing Samantha Berrios, Leah Romero, and Yesenia Gonzalez, there also had been a speculation that Armando Hernandez killed his niece, another girl who was a friend of Leah Romero, and a teenage boy. I felt disgusted over the fact that Armando Hernandez could have murdered his niece, his own flesh and blood. My disdain for this individual grew more in my research. I continued to read that he was charged for scolding and assaulting his ex-wife's 3-year-old son in a tub of boiling water, causing severe injuries to his back. It was heartbreaking. In the interview, Armando Hernandez tried to minimize the charges against him by trying to come up with a lie, but he came up empty. Instead, he became frustrated with the interviewer, Peter Moore, because Moore strayed off the subject of death of the 3 young ladies. And now, according to au.reachout.com, it states, "It sounds cliche, but there's really isn't a right or wrong way to react to death of someone that a person doesn't know personally. Many people experience grief when they hear about the death of a person who is well known, but known to them personally, such as a celebrity. And many others feel nothing. Everyone feels differently, and that's fine. If a person is experiencing grief in the news of a stranger's death, it's probably because a person feels some kind of connection to them. Why would anybody harm a toddler?" I thought. "He is truly a monster." During my research, I cried at times, and I grew angrier and angrier. I could only find the court TV video clips of the sentencing and the statements given by the Romero family and the Gonzalez family. I watched both clips. The clip that struck me the most was the statement given by Mr. Santana Romero and Mrs. Eileen Romero. Mr. Romero read their letter to the judge while his wife stood silently watching Armando Hernandez with disgust. Hernandez sat a couple feet away from them. The look Mrs. Romero gave in the courtroom struck me. Mrs. Romero looked like the devil himself ripped her soul. I felt terrible for Mr. and Mrs. Romero. This monster took away their only child from them. They will never know the joy of being grandparents and great-grandparents. The Gonzalez family lost their only daughter and their only sister. My heart broke also for the Gonzalez family, especially for Mrs. Melissa Gonzalez, who spoke on behalf of the family. She was very brave, but her heart was sick with sadness. The more research I did about the subject matter, the more I realized that the answer was not homesickness. There had to be something else that was drawing me to the TV binging and extensive research into this case. Why this guy? Why 30 years later, I thought. Around 2 a.m., one early morning, the Holy Spirit came to me. The Holy Spirit told me that I had to forgive the Bronx Boogeyman. Okay, I get it, I thought. He's done bad things to innocent people. He must be forgiven. But why him? Why 30 years later? There are scores of serial killers in this world, and I don't watch shows about them repeatedly. Why this one? The Holy Spirit came to me again and told me to think about the people in my life. I began to understand. Like some of the people in my life, Armando Hernandez was a narcissist. If I could find forgiveness in my heart for the Bronx boogeyman, I can find forgiveness for others who have wronged me. However, there are other questions that remain. What about Yesenia? Where does she fit in this mystery? Armando killed Yesenia. I felt a connection with Yesenia because Yesenia and I were close in age. Plus, my daughter, at the time, was the same age as Yesenia when she died. I had to write my feelings about Yesenia and the Bronx boogeyman in my blog. But being a storyteller, I wrote it in a short story form. It was entitled, My Date with the Bronx Boogeyman. It was very emotional to write that story in my blog. I found myself crying at one point while writing it. I had to change my identity to protect my real identity. At the end of the story, I visit Yesenia's grave and give a monologue. It was very sad. Most of all, it was also difficult to write that I stopped, that I cried a few more times. And this is the monologue. The cemetery was incredibly vast. Kita had to ask for directions for Yesenia Gonzalez's grave. When Kita finally found Yesenia's grave, Kita took a deep breath and held the bouquet tighter. She slowly walked to Yesenia Gonzalez's grave, which with the bouquet in her hands. She takes another deep breath. The moment was so surreal to her for years. The death of this little girl has haunted her thoughts. At that moment, Kita stood in front of her grave. Kita took a big gulp and looked around the cemetery. She was very nervous, but she felt it was something that had to be done. Wow. I made it. Can't believe I'm here. Hi, Yesenia. Kita started with her nerves at high tide. My name is Kita. You don't know me, but I know you. Well, I know of you. When I first saw you, you were a picture on my TV news wearing your first Holy Communion outfit. The news said that you were missing. I was so scared for you. I was scared for your safety. All I wanted to be was for you to come home to your family so you can be safe. But then there was talk about you being dead. I didn't want to believe it. Then, I eventually faced the reality that you were dead. When your death became real to me, all I wanted was for this person to get caught and get sent to jail, which they did. 30 years later, your death still haunts me. I still don't understand it. I still don't get it. But for some reason, this serial killer opened up a Pandora's box that I didn't know existed. I'm angry. I've been crying. Kita begins to cry. However, Kita continued through her tears. Why did he do this to you? Why you? Why any kid? He took everything from you. 30 years ago, he didn't admit to the crimes, and he's not admitting it to the crimes 30 years later. That bastard is still a monster. He's a real life boogeyman. Yesenia, it's very strange to me, but the thing that is so scary for me is I can imagine the fear you must have felt with him when you knew something wasn't right. I guess that makes me an empath. You must have tried to save yourself in some way. Was it by trying to run from him? Were you screaming for help? Maybe that's the reason he put that plastic bag over your head to make you quiet. Well, he did. Until there was no life left in you. I saw the evil in his eyes during those court hearings. He deserves to be in prison for the rest of his life. He will never hurt anyone's child again. Yesenia, your death didn't just affect your family, your friends, and your neighborhood. It affected people who didn't know you, too. Like me. Rest in peace, Yesenia. Some people feel that. Oh, before I continue, that was the end of the monologue. Some people feel that to grieve someone, a person must know that person. These people obviously don't know the meaning of humility or humanity. I do not have to know Yesenia to grieve for her. I connected with this little girl because our lives were somewhat parallel to each other. I'm also an empath. We were the same age and we went to Catholic school. Well, different Catholic schools. Furthermore, she was only 10 years old when her life was suddenly taken. People who do not understand my somber feelings for Yesenia will never understand empathy or humility. Like Leah and Samantha, Yesenia was many things to many people. Most of all, she was an innocent child whose life was taken by the Bronx boogeyman or a child predator, killer. No child deserves that kind of fate. A person does not get over death. A person gets through death. I was on social media one day looking through my feed. I saw a picture of a bunch of children playing at the playground. This playground was so significant because it was in the same neighborhood where Yesenia, Leah, and Samantha lived. I felt emotional because these children played without a care in the world. I thought, they will never know the hell their neighborhood endured over 30 years ago. If they do know, they will never understand. The children during that time were scared forever by the loss of three innocent girls, possibly three more other children, and the fear caused by a man who used kindness as a mask to cover his evil. I sometimes think of the kind of person Yesenia would have been today. I imagine she would be a wife, mother, and a military veteran. To be more specific, retired Army veteran. I imagine her being in the military because she lived in the city and her siblings were boys. I'm sure her brothers taught her how to protect herself, but she was still defeated. I have this picture in my head of her taking a selfie with her husband and children, but I could not see their faces because they were covered with masks. Yesenia, Leah, and Samantha are gone, but will never be forgotten. They did not die in vain. Even in death, these young women and the city of New York brought this monster to justice. Most of all, the Bronx boogeyman is in jail while he will never harm another child again. All right, well, that concludes the short story of entitled Bennett from the unpublished book, Are the Kids All Right? Which hopefully I will be finishing soon. Please don't forget to subscribe to this podcast. And thank you for listening. This is Aja Pearl. It's my world, and I'm so happy you came. Have a good night.